Chapter 21. Small. For the first time in his life, Nath felt that way. It was the first time he'd felt pinned in by a situation that overwhelmed him. Below, his friends were pinned to the cliffs by Sky Raiders, fierce winged behemoths whose myriad of scales glinted in the sun. Their spiked tails swished back and forth like cedars. Feeling despair, Nath glanced up at the woman fixed on Inferno's head, clenched his fists, and looked back.
"Get in that cave!"
he ordered the gnomes.
"But now!"
Shum pulled himself up on the ledge using the vines that hung over him. His steely eyes never left the terror that lurked above.
"Danger comes in many shapes and sizes, but even a needle can be the gravest threat,"
he said.
"I'm going up,"
Nath said, grabbing a vine.
"You stay with them."
"Nath,"
Shum said,
"I don't think that is wise. We don't even know what may be concealed beyond the rim of the cliff."
"Well,"
Nath said, hoisting himself up,
"it couldn't be any worse than this."
Shum grabbed his ankle, and with a fierce tug, he pulled him back down.
"We came to help,"
the wilder elf said,
"not to turn you loose. Help is coming, Nath. We just need to hold out."
Nath eyed him.
"What kind of help?"
"That I do not know."
"Time is short,"
Selene said from her perch.
"Bring forth the gnomes."
"Do you see any other way out of this?"
Nath said.
"We can't run. We can't hide. Any sudden moves will destroy us, Shum."
His jaw muscles clenched.
"That's Inferno up there. A killer. There won't be any mercy from him or his murderous brothers. Sultans of Sulphur! Are the good dragons ever coming?"
Shum's expression remained frozen when he said,
"The dragons have capricious timelines. Of course you know that."
Nath needed to hit something. Lash out. If another dragon war was about to start, then where in the Ten Lakes were the good dragons? Had Barnabas overtaken them all? Killed them? Could the Jaxite stones win them back? He needed answers. But first he needed to secure the safety of his friends.
"I can at least go up there, meet our enemy face to face, and buy time."
He grabbed the vines.
"You have to figure something out."
Stargirl popped his head out of the cave and said,
"Just turn us over. It's our lives, and we can do what we will. And no one else has to die."
"Countless have died already, thanks to the Jaxite stones, you fickle gnome."
He pointed at him.
"Don't try to go anywhere, because I'll be coming back for you."
He grabbed some vines and surged up, leaving the others behind. Ben watched Nath climb up the cliffs with Fang strapped to his back. He glanced back at the dragons that sat poised to strike less than 50 feet from him. His heart pounded in his chest. The heat from the dragon's breath stung his eyes. He wiped them and resumed his focus on Nath.
"What is he doing?"
he said.
"Is he gonna fight that dragon without me?"
Brenmar added. Bezog shook his head, saying,
"I hope he is not doing what I think he is doing."
What's that?"
said Ben, dressing Bezog's wounds.
"Buying time."
"That's not such a bad idea, is it?"
"He'll have to bargain,"
Bezog said, wincing. The last of Nath's red hair and black scales disappeared over the rim.
"Bezog, didn't you teach me that you can't bargain with evil?"
Brenmar tossed his hammer down. The elf just nodded his head yes. Clearing the ledge, Nath unslung Fang and rested him on his broad shoulder.
"Only a fool approaches man-sized dragon fangs without a fang of his own. Or an arc."
Nath took a breath and made a bead through the tall grasses where Selene and Inferno waited, overlooking the valley. His dragon heart pumped hard and fast, heightening his senses. He had never feared anything but failure and harm to others, until now. He was facing her, a woman with scales the same as his. Bezog's words echoed in his thoughts.
The Black Dragon shall return again, and the final war shall be waged.
Above, the grayscalers circled. A stiff breeze from the distant woodland cooled his hot neck. Nath stopped short of Inferno's tail, which coiled like a snake in the grass. The great dragon's head remained at a steady perch, but its eye glared back at him. That's when Selene turned, and Nath caught his breath. She was glorious. She was a dragoness. She parted her crimson lips and said,
"Where are my gnomes? Are they hidden in the sheath of your pretty sword?"
Nath's tongue clove to the roof of his mouth. Her speech was ancient, hypnotic, mysterious.
"Well,"
she added, walking down Inferno's neck and standing between his wings.
"Where are they? Or did you come to surrender?"
Her words jolted his mind from its slumber and revived his sharp tongue.
"No, Selene,"
he nodded and looked side to side.
"And you are correct. There are no gnomes with me."
He lifted his chin and smiled.
"But it's good to know that we have something in common."
"Oh?"
she said, perching a brow.
"And what might that be? Our scales?"
"No,"
he chuckled.
"Not at all. But I would like to talk about that sometime."
He chuckled again.
"So you find your hopeless situation amusing?"
"I just find it funny that you assumed that I came up here to offer my surrender, but..."
He paused, holding his chuckling stomach.
"In all truth, I came up here to accept your surrender."
The polished features on her gentle face formed a dark scowl. Inferno's neck raised up and his throat rumbled.
"You are every bit the fool they say you are."
"Fool?" Nath said. "Who says I'm a fool?"
"The dragons,"
Selene said through clenched teeth.
"You are the fallen dragon prince, the heir of folly."
She walked further down Inferno's back along his curled tail and stopped, staring at his arms, legs, and claws.
"Oh, and look, you have white scales. I bet you don't even know what those mean, do you, Nath Dragon, son of Balzer?"
Nath's father's name rolled from her tongue, smooth and easy. But less than a minute into it, she stopped. Her point was made. She knew much more about dragons than he did, and perhaps more about himself as well. Nath was torn. He wanted to kill her, but he also wanted to learn more about himself.
"Well,"
she continued,
"do you know what your white scales mean? Do you understand why your father banished you? Why they call you the demon in the towns, the cursed serpent in the cities?"
She let loose a hearty laugh.
"I can see that you still know nothing."
Nath eased back a half step. His fingers fumbled on the hilt of his blade. This felt like a scolding from his father, and his emotions were split between anger and shame. His thoughts drifted, became unfocused. Then he blurted out,
"I'm sorry, does this mean you are surrendering or not? I'm uncertain."
Her eyes flashed like torch-lit fires, and a dark energy formed about her entirety, like a second skin, a dragon-like shroud.
"You think you can toy with me, Nath Dragon?"
She traipsed to a spot between Inferno's wings and grabbed the saddle rope around his neck.
"I'll dull that sharp tongue of yours, and if I can't have the gnomes, nobody will."
She barked a command to Inferno in Dragonese. The great dragon expanded its wings, leaped from the ledge, and glided down over the rim.
His armored belly skimmed the treetops. And up, up, up he went over the forest, turning and racing right back at the cliff. Nath ran to the rim.
What is she doing?
Inferno's wings beat the air. His chest glowed with fire. The dragon pulled up short of the cliff and hovered in the air. Nath locked his eyes with Selene. He saw her lips say, "I warned you." A tunnel of dragon fire erupted from Inferno's huge mouth and struck the rock face full force. The roaring flame scorched every vine and tree. They filled every cave with flame. Ash, smoke, and fire covered the steep mountainside. Inferno kept going. Flames gushed into every hole, every crevice. All life was incinerated. Nath cried out,
"No! Stop it!"
He could not see the gnomes nor Shum. Just scorching hot fire and black-gray smoke. He fell to his knees. I've killed them. I've killed them.